The Word of the Lord Endures Forever is brought to you in part by the Lutheran Heritage Foundation. LHF is a recognized service organization of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, dedicated to translating and publishing the books of our Lutheran faith into more than 100 languages for our Christian brothers and sisters around the world. Learn how you can take part in their work at lhfmissions.org. Welcome to The Word of the Lord Endures Forever with Pastor Will Wheaton.
As I write this, so many Christians are not able at this time to receive the sacrament due to the coronavirus. And if you're at all like me, the ache for that heaven on earth grows day by day. May God bring it back to us soon. And may He forgive us for ever taking it so for granted.
The Word of the Lord Endures Forever is a daily verse-by-verse Bible study with the church, past and present. Pastor Wheaton is leading us in a study of the book of Hebrews.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. Greetings, people loved by God. Better. We heard a lot of it last time. Our high priest Jesus was made a high priest with an oath by God, and this made him the guarantor of a better covenant. We considered how the problem with the Old Testament priests, and for that matter with Christian pastors, is that they always wear out and die, but that in Jesus we have a priest who continues forever in his permanent priesthood, and who lives, literally lives, to make intercession for us. He doesn't ever need to make a sacrifice for his own sins or to bring constantly new sacrifices before the Father on our behalf, because he offered himself the victim and himself the priest, as the once and for all time sacrifice for the sins of the whole world. Picking up right there in the Epistle to the Hebrews, the 8th chapter, beginning at the first verse. Now the point in what we are saying is this. We have such a high priest, one who is seated at the right hand of the throne of the majesty in heaven, a minister in the holy places, in the true tent that the Lord set up, not man. For every high priest is appointed to offer gifts and sacrifices. Thus, it is necessary for this priest also to have something to offer. Now, if he were on earth, he would not be a priest at all, since there are priests who offer gifts according to the law. They serve a copy and shadow of the heavenly things. For when Moses was about to erect the tent, he was instructed by God, saying, "See that you make everything according to the pattern that was shown you on the mountain." But as it is, Christ has obtained a ministry that is as much more excellent than the old as the covenant he mediates is better, since it is enacted on better promises. For if that first covenant had been faultless, there would have been no occasion to look for a second. Hebrews 8, verses 1 through 7. Let us pray. Grant, we pray you, Almighty God, to us and to your whole church, your Holy Spirit, and the wisdom that comes down from above, that your word may not be bound, but have free course and be preached to the joy and edifying of Christ's holy people, that in steadfast faith we may serve you, and in the confession of your name abide to our end. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Ready to dig in? Let's do this. Verse 1. Now, the point in what we are saying is this. We have such a high priest, one who is seated at the right hand of the throne of the majesty in heaven, a minister in the holy places, in the true tent that the Lord set up, not man. That is, the one to whom the Father had spoken that oath and appointed priest forever, David's son and Lord, has come. And so right now, at this moment, you have such a high priest. And he is seated at the right hand of the throne of the majesty in heaven. it's important to remember that that doesn't mean that your Jesus is confined to a certain local spot, as though heaven were subject to geography or cartography. Rather, as the great 16th century reformer Martin Luther taught so very clearly, if you listen to the way Scripture speaks about the right hand, you realize that it means he's been given all power. Listen to Psalm 118. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly. The right hand of the Lord exalts. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly. It's a way of confessing that Christ has exactly what he claimed for himself in Matthew 28. All power in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Passa exousia. Nothing outside of his control. As the speaker of Hebrews had laid before us way back in chapter 2. So the one with all the power, he's the one who serves in the real holy place. He's a minister, or we could also translate that as liturgist. It's literally liturgos. That is the one who serves to bring before God the sacrifice of atonement, and who always intercedes for his own and leads his own in their hymn of praise to the Father. Now you also need to get that to the Hebrew mind, the temple complex was a picture of the cosmos itself. And thus, the Holy of Holies behind the veil where the blood of atonement was poured out once each year, that was a sign of the heaven of heavens, that is, of God's very dwelling place. Think about it. Remember the two cherubim on either end of the mercy seat, and then think of, for example, Isaiah's vision where he's in the temple and suddenly he sees heaven itself open. He hears the seraphim, many-eyed and six-winged, on either end of the throne of God singing their endless hymn, their holy, 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 their sanctus. Heaven and earth are full of Yahweh's glory. The speaker of Hebrews is saying, that's where Jesus serves as liturgist. Remember how the angel or messenger took a coal with tongs from the altar and pressed the glowing coal to Isaiah's lips. This has touched your lips. Your iniquities are taken away and your sin is forgiven. In just the same way, our pastors take the glowing coal of Christ's true body and blood and press it to our lips, and all the benefits of Christ's self-offering in heaven are given to us in that moment. It's our heaven on earth. As I write this, so many Christians are not able at this time to receive the sacrament due to the coronavirus, and if you're at all like me, the ache for that heaven on earth grows day by day. May God bring it back to us soon, and may he forgive us for ever taking it so for granted. Verse 3. For every high priest is appointed to offer gifts and sacrifices. Thus, it is necessary for this priest also to have something to offer. And we know that the something he offers is his very self, his own body and blood, that upon the cross bore our sin and blotted it out forever in the sight of God. The great Lutheran dogmatician Johann Gerhard from the 17th century wrote of this. He says, "It is clear that the sacrifice takes place in heaven, not on earth, inasmuch as the death and passion of God's beloved Son is offered to God the Father by way of commemoration. In the Christian sacrifice, there is no victim except the real and substantial body of Christ, and in the same way, there is no true priest except Christ himself. Hence, this sacrifice, once offered on the cross, takes place continually in an unseen fashion in heaven by way of commemoration. When Christ offers to his Father on our behalf his sufferings of the past, especially when we are applying ourselves to the sacred mysteries, and this is the unbloody sacrifice which is carried out in heaven." St. Augustine, writing in his little book on the Trinity, says, "Who then is so righteous and holy a priest as the only Son of God, who had no need to purge his own sins by sacrifice, neither original sins nor those that were added by human life? And what could human beings more appropriately choose to be offered for themselves than human flesh? And what could be more fitting for this immolation than mortal flesh? And what could be cleaner for cleansing the faults of mortals than the flesh born in and from the womb of a virgin without any infection of carnal desires? And what could be more acceptably offered and taken than that the flesh of our sacrifice be the body of our priest? Verse 4. Now if he were on earth, he would not be a priest at all, since there are priests who offer gifts according to the law. They serve a copy and shadow of the heavenly things. For when Moses was about to erect the tent, he was instructed by God, saying, "See that you make everything according to the pattern that was shown you on the mountain." This suggests, by the way, that the temple is still standing, so probably preached prior to AD 70, before the Romans destroyed it. But the point is that the real deal is what happens in heavenly Jerusalem and not what happens in the temple in earthly Jerusalem. The temple was merely copy and shadow of the heavenly things. Yes, if you know Plato's cave analogy, you might recognize some similar thoughts here. The passage alluded to is Exodus 25, verse 40. "See that you make them," Hebrew adds, "every one of them," all of them, "after the pattern of them which is being shown you on the mountain." The word translated pattern is in Greek typos, what we would normally say type, but pattern, that's a great way of rendering type. It's an earthly copying of the heavenly real thing, where the heavenly thing touches down in grace upon the earth. So that means that the entire worship apparatus of the Old Testament was based on the vision of heaven itself, which Moses received on Sinai. Verse 6. "But as it is, Christ has obtained a ministry that is as much more excellent than the old as the covenant he mediates is better, since it is enacted on better promises. For if that first covenant had been faultless, there would have been no occasion to look for a second." Again, that word for ministry is liturgy, liturgias. Christ has a liturgy that is excessively more excellent than the old. How much more excessively excellent? As more excellent as the covenant he mediates is better, since it is enacted on better promises. He's been eager to talk about covenant, I think, since he introduced the term back in the previous chapter. And just like with the priesthood changing, meaning that the law has changed, so here the covenant is changed. And changed, you guessed it, for the better. And his point is that change is such a momentous matter as divinely appointed worship in the Old Testament, awesome and great as it was, it just wasn't perfect, or as he says here, faultless. Because then there'd be no need nor occasion to be on the lookout for a second covenant, a second liturgy, a second way of worship, a better way. St. Athanasius, that doughty defender of Christ's divinity in the 4th century, wrote, "Both in the verse before then and throughout does he ascribe the word better to the Lord, who is better and other than originated things. For better is the sacrifice through him, better is the hope in him, and also the promises through him, not merely as great compared with small, but the one differing from the other in nature, because he who conducts this economy," we might say this liturgy, "is better than things originated," in other words, created. This heavenly liturgy of Christ, it goes on forever. Next time, we'll ponder the teaching of the Old Testament itself about the change of the covenant that God will make from Isaiah 31. But for now, you take this comfort and you hold it tight. Your Jesus, who never stops praying for you at the right hand of his Father and presenting his very self as the offering that has wiped out your sin, he has a liturgy that goes on. Even when his people cannot assemble together here on earth in one spot, we can still always join him in his unending liturgy in heaven, in prayer, in Bible reading, and in song. That's all we have time for today, people loved by God. Till next time, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.
Thanks for listening to The Word of the Lord Endures Forever with Pastor Will Wheaton. If you have a question or a comment about today's teaching, send an email to contact@thewordendures.org. The Word of the Lord Endures Forever is a listener-supported program. You can donate by check, make your check payable to The Word Endures, and send it to Box 616, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also make a secure online contribution at thewordendures.org. The Word of the Lord Endures Forever is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.